الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ابي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى اهل بيته الاثيمين الانزلين فان تولى ومن اعدائهم تتبرع الى الله. اللهم كن لوليك المجدد الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى ابائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا محافظا وقائدا وناصرا وذليلا معينا حتى تسكنه أرض التوام وتمتعه فيها طويلا. We talked about the wasiyya of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam to his son Imam al-Mustafa alayhi salam, and there phrases of it were mentioned where Amir al-Mu'mineen, he talks about the heart, the moods, the manners of the heart, how the heart behaves, and how this heart of an individual has to be tamed. It is like a wild animal, like a wild horse, that is, one cannot benefit from this wild animal unless it is tamed. And once you tame this horse, only then will you be able to mount on it and benefit from it. And here we find that he mentions many contradicting commands to the heart. At one time says, فَأَحْيِي قَلْبَكَ بِالْمَوْعِظَةِ, that is, you have to give life to your heart. On the other hand says, you kill your heart. And then today, and then says, you have to make your heart strong, and then you have to make your heart nurani, enlighten it. Now how do you make it strong? Says, how do you give life to it? Bil mawizah, by giving an advice. And this heart constantly needs an advice. And the more advice is given to it, you find that this heart becomes alive. And you find in Quran ayat which say that a heart which doesn't accept this mawizah is dead. In the early ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, you find fi qulubihim marad. Because that heart is sick, it doesn't accept any advice. A point comes when this heart becomes dead. Maybe the human being, he is alive, the heart is pumping, but spiritually that person is dead. Someone who doesn't accept any advice, spiritually he is dead. So there is a command to give life to your heart, there is a command to kill your heart. And how do you kill your heart? بِالزُّهْدِ. Zuhd means all these attractions and desires, temptations which are around the heart. You have to reduce them. If it's a lot of food you want to eat, give it a little break, reduce it a little bit. If that heart is after a lot of comfort, reduce that comfort a little bit. So all these attractions, temptations, desires that are around us, to reduce them a little bit, that is Zuhd. And that says, قَبْهِ بِالْيَقِينِ, and with yaqeen, certainty, you have to make this heart of yours strong. That is, constantly, it shouldn't be as such that you, in Sunday schools we learned that the usul al-deen are five, and we just stick to those five until the day we die. No. This usul al-deen which we have faith in, it has to constantly increase. Our iman in that usul has to increase, the quality has to increase. If we believe in God, we have to know who this God is, attributes of Allah, what are they. So that iman has to constantly keep on upgrading. If it sticks to a state, that is bad. We have to continue, as in our day-to-day life, in our worldly livelihood, we constantly upgrade our living every few months, every few years. There is some change in the decor, some change in the furniture. The same thing is with this inner side of us. That has to be constantly, it has to be upgraded. وَقَبْدِهِ بِالْيَقِينِ. So Imam says, you make your heart strong with yaqeen, وَنَبِّرْهُ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. You enlighten your heart with hikmah, with wisdom. Now, looking into these qualities which Imam mentions, says that a heart which possesses all these different qualities, that heart is alive, that heart is saleem. And a heart which is saleem, it accepts. If it goes wrong, if someone corrects it, it accepts the corrections, but that heart has to be saleem. And there's this beautiful phrase saying from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. He says that وَفَدْتُ عَلَى الْكَرِيمِ بِغَيْرِ زَادٍ, that I gave away my life, I died upon, I gave my life to Allah, Kareem, who is the benevolent. بِغَيْرِ زَادٍ, without any provisions, without any commodities. بِغَيْرِ زَادٍ مِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ وَقَلْبِ السَّلِيمِ. Now what are those provisions that I need to take to the night of my hereafter? Say, one of them, it is hasanat, the good. The second one is a pure heart, a sincere heart, which Imam defines, that heart which is alive, that heart which is dead, that heart has which has been enlightened, that is that heart which Imam talks about. وَحَمْدُ الزَّارِ أَقْبَحُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِذَا كَانَ الْوُفُودُ عَلَى الْكَرِيمِ. And now departing to Allah, who is all that great and benevolent, without any luggage, and the luggage we need is that qalb as-saleem and hasanat which is lacking, Imam says that is the toughest departure from this world. So that qalb as-saleem has to be made here. Why? Because in the hereafter no one will help. Quran says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. That in the hereafter, neither your wealth will be helpful, neither our children will help us. The only thing which will help us out in the hereafter is that qalb as-saleem, that heart which we have corrected, which we have developed, which we have made over here, that is what's going to be helping us over there. So if that heart is not developed over here, Quran says, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ, that heart is sick. فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا, that marad also in that heart just constantly increases. So first we put all these different commands over here, then Imam says, وَقَفْهِ بِالْيَقِينِ, you have to make this heart of yours strong, those usul al-deen, you have to constantly keep on upgrading. وَنَوِّرْهُ بِالْحِكْمَةِ, enlighten your heart with hikmah. Hikmah means wisdom, but over here, نَوِّرْهُ بِالْحِكْمَةِ, top it up, that is, enlighten your heart with your actions, with your amal, that is نَوِّرْهُ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. Now if a person enlightens his heart, prepares it, develops it, says مَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. That if someone developed his heart, made his heart, says that heart of his will become noor, and that will find way out among the people. And we do find another ayah in Surah Al-Hadid, there says that this mu'min who has prepared himself, created his pure heart, developed it according to the teachings of Ma'asumeen, in the hereafter he will act like a torch. That is, he will, that noor of that person will find him a way out in that qiyamah as well. Says that, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَآمِنُوا بِرَسُولِهِ يُؤْتِكُمْ كِفْلَيْنِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ. That as a result of this preparation of your heart, that Allah will give you a noor, تَمْشُونَ بِهِ, with the help of that noor, you will find your way out, you will walk in the hereafter. Now after these four contradicting commands which Imam mentions to the heart, now says وَذَلِّلْهُ بِذِكْرِ الْمَوْتِ, that is, this heart of yours, you find that it becomes very jolly. A time comes, it will never be under control, but it is armed in these different temptations and desires of the world. Imam says you need to tame that heart. Like that horse which is wild, this wild heart of ours needs to be tamed. How? ذَلِّلْهُ بِذِكْرِ الْمَوْتِ, make it ذَلِيل, make it wretched by constantly reminding it of death. That is, you have to die. That is, you say, you address your heart, or on and off, once in a while, go to one of these cemeteries and see the graves. And in the forthcoming phrases here, Imam says that you have to visit graveyards, you have to visit cemeteries and see that these people also, like you and me who are living today, they also lived. A time came that they perished, they went away from this livelihood. We too are following them, and so we will depart. Imam says, you have to tame your heart. How? بِذِكْرِ الْمَوْتِ, by constantly reminding that heart of death. And then says, وَقَرِّرْهُ بِالْفَنَاءِ, says you have to confirm this heart of yours and how bilfana that you will end, you are perishable. That is, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. That everything or everything which is on this earth is fun, or everything in the creation of Allah, apart from Allah, is fun, it will come to an end, it is perishable. وَيَبْقَى. Now that which is going to endure is Allah only, ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And then says Imam, that now that you've tamed your heart by reminding it of the death, now that you've confirmed that this heart of yours is perishable, says, وَأَسْكِنْهُ بِالْخَشْيَةِ. Now it's become restless. A heart which is restless, it needs to be at rest. It has to be comfortable. Now how do you provide that comfort to your heart? Imam says, وَأَسْكِنْهُ بِالْخَشْيَةِ. That fright of Allah has to constantly be given to this heart. We put this phrase khuzu and khushu, which you constantly hear that a person has to possess in his prayers. Khuzu means that physical appearance of prayer, and that is you have to stand without any movement, and then you bow down into sajda without any movement, and in sajda that position has to be observed. That is khuzu, which is the appearance or the shell of the prayer. Khushu means the inner side of that prayer. That inner self of the prayer is that fright towards Allah has to be there. That when I stand in the presence of Allah, I'm standing in the presence of someone who is almighty, who possesses everything, and me, I possess nothing. So that is scary. That position itself, وَمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى, as Quran says, that someone who fears the position of God, Allah is not scary, Allah. It's that rank, that position which he is in, the station which he holds, that is so great compared to the station of his, we have to have that scary position of ours. وَأَسْكِنْهُ بِالْخَشْيَةِ. You have to give this heart of yours a rest with this fright which you have to possess. And that says, وَأَشْعِرْهُ بِالصَّبْرِ. And then this heart of yours, you have to give it a clothing, a covering. How is that? With patience. Patience also, it's quite a detailed topic, that patience has to be there when it comes to the observation of the commandments of Allah, wazifat. You want to have to say your prayers, you want to do something else, but patience is required for you to come towards prayers, say your prayers. There is a sin which is taking place, and there are so much of temptation that a person wants to be part of that sin, but that being away from that sin also requires patience, requires sabr. Or in our day-to-day life and all these different matters which erupt on and off, over there again to deal with each other we need patience. So patience is required. Here Imam says, وَأَشْعِرْهُ بِالصَّبْرِ, meaning that you make sabr, patience, اِجْعَلِسَّ أَشْعَارَ اللَّهِ, that is, you make this patience the slogan of your heart, the covering of your heart. It has to be that patience. وَبَصِّرْهُ فَجَاوِيَ الدُّنْيَا. And then Imam says, you show this heart of yours all these fajaya that take place in this dunya, all these different happenings that take place in this dunya. وَحَذِّرْهُ سَوْلَةَ الدَّهْرِ. These ups and downs that take place in the earth, on this earth, tell this. Constantly notify this in front of your heart. Although it's difficult over here because there's all this media and media coverage, not counting the third world as part of the world. Most of the news you don't get over here. But if you look into and analyze the news, what's happening around the world, for example, Saddam, he existed with all that might, with all that, all those riches, Hosni Mubarak the same, Gaddafi the same, Pahlavi the same, all these rulers, they came, they had all that power, that might. After all, they ended up, and in such a wretched way. Imam says, inform your heart, teach your heart, show these incidents to your heart, so that your heart is also tamed. So that is important. Says, وَحَذِّرْهُ سَوْلَةَ الدَّهْرِ وَفُحْشَةَ قَلُّبِهِ تَقَلُّبَ الْلَيَالِي وَالْأَيَّامِ. May Allah help us in understanding these glorious sayings of the Imam inshallah, we will continue. Salam. Coming back to the other topic, and that was we started, and on how Allah, the Lord, He covers the wrong of mu'mineen, the wrong that they had done, and different factors were mentioned as to how all this wrong is weighed them. Because many a time we find that the wrong is changed into good, many a time the wrong is just forgiven. So for that, many factors were mentioned. And it was mentioned yesterday that a group will enter the heaven without being questioned, a group will enter the hell without being questioned, بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, and there will be some who have to give a severe and a difficult account, and some who will be also giving a difficult account before entering the hell or the heaven. So all these things are there. So there are those who have taken good care of themselves in this dunya, their accounts, their worship, their repentance, their du'as, their pleading, their tawassul, their crying, the correction of their wrong also existed in them. Those who have prepared themselves in this dunya are those who have made and availed their accounts here or cleared their accounts over here. Allah will not ask for their accounts in the hereafter. It's just one set of accounts which needs to be submitted. Either here or there. If you submit it here, He will not ask there. If you don't submit it here, He will ask there. It's just one set of accounts which is required. And for this, this muhasiba, which is again another beautiful tool which our ulama of akhlaq mentioned, they say that when you start your day early in the morning, you have this musharata. That is, you condition on yourself. That is, this day of mine, I will do a set amount of good and I will be away from all the wrong that I am normally in. So that condition you apply to yourself early in the morning, and then throughout the day is that muraqabah. Muraqabah means I constantly watch my actions throughout the day, and at the end of the day I see, that is muhasabah, that is the account I take for myself, how much good I did and how much bad did I do. That plan I had early in the morning, how much of that did I acquire and how much of that I have lost. So this is how a person grows, a person educates himself, and a time comes that we find that we have become better people, and that is by this muhasaba. One of the names which Allah Ta'ala possesses is Hasib. Hasib means someone who takes an account. So people, either they will be sent to the heaven بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ or to the hell بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, or a tough inquiry will be from people. One of the things which we ought to give a lot of importance to, Quran says in Surah Al-Dukhan that وَأَلَّا تَعْلُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ, that is, and that you do not exalt yourself against Allah. What does that mean? It talks about istikbar. Istikbar is arrogance. Now if God has said to me, for example, to say my prayers, and I don't say, not saying my prayers, God forbid, is arrogance. It's istikbar. He said to say, and I don't. It's standing against the command of Allah. Here in this ayah says, وَأَلَّا تَعْلُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ, that you must not exalt yourself over Allah, against Allah, and then says, إِنِّي آتِيكُمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ, and surely I will bring to you a clear authority. وَإِنِّي عُزْتُ بِرَبِّي وَرَبِّكُمْ أَنْ تَرْجُمُونَ. So, one of the teachings that the prophets have taught us is not to possess this istikbar, not to possess this arrogance, kibr, ghurur, pride. And we have to constantly fight this kibr. If you accept this istikbar in whatever form of it, may that be a lower form or a greater form, that is one of those attributes which can possess in attracting many of the wrong and other sins in our life. One of the worst of attributes one can possess is not submitting to Allah. Many a times we find that People, they say, yeah, namaz, we'll do it. Fast, we can't. Yesterday there was a question that if someone doesn't observe fast, I said, why? Is he sick? Is he traveling? Is he in her days? Or can he not observe? He said that no, just it's laziness. Don't feel like fasting. Don't feel like fasting. I just ask once again. Maybe you are sick. Maybe you can't. If the days are too long, you can't. No. Everything is fine. Don't feel like fasting. Don't feel like fasting. Fasting means that multiple penalty applies. 60 consecutive days you have to make up, plus that one day you have missed, and feed 60 people. That is called don't feel like fasting. And with 60 days penalty also, all the fuqaha, they say that 31 days of them have to be all in a row without any break. If for whatever reason I traveled or I felt ill, I couldn't make up, I fasted for 30 days. That 31st day I couldn't, I have to repeat all of those 31 once again on that same row. Why? For not feeling like fasting. That is the punishment. So that is arrogance. That is not feeling like fasting, not feeling like praying. That is arrogance that a person, for that arrogance, we find in a hadith says, usulul kufri thalath. That is, the basis of kufr, infidelity, disbelief, there are three. First of all, it's istikbar, arrogance, pride, kibr, hasad, and that's jealousy. And then third is hirs, greed. Now the reason why Prophet Adam was ousted from that heaven was hirs. The reason why Shaitan was ousted from the presence of Allah was istikbar, arrogance. He says, no, I'm better. I will not bow down before Adam. Hirs is greed. Adam was said not to go near that tree. He went. He was ousted. Shaitan was asked to bow down before Adam. He said, I'm better. I will not. He's ousted from the presence of Allah. And then hasad, jealousy, the first jealousy which took place on this earth, Adam, from that son Qabil of Prophet Adam, who killed due to jealousy his own brother, that was hasad. So the checker is, when man sees right in minor issues, if you find that Allah has said, for example, this burger which is in front of me, I must not eat, I must not eat. If I do not eat means I'm okay. If I say it's just a burger and I'm so hungry and I can have to eat it, it means that little bit of istikbar has started to grow in me, that kibr, that arrogance, and that will continue to grow if it's not stopped there. So that is important. Now in the hereafter, we have holding points. There are many holding points. That is, it was mentioned some people will get into the heaven bighayri hisab, some will get into the hell bighayri hisab. Some will have a painstaking, difficult time. Now what is that difficult time? It's these holding areas, holding stations where people will be held. So a few, an easy account, a few, very difficult account, a few, without being questioned, to either be held or be held. Quran says, from a few, a very accurate and a precise hisab will be taken. وَالَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَن يُوسَلَ وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ وَيَخَافُونَ السُّوءَ الْحِسَابِ. They are those who join that which Allah has bidden to be joined and have awe of their Lord and fear the evil reckoning. Says from a few, a very accurate hisab will be taken. One of the other aspects that we find over here is that Allah's name is Hasib, that He takes an account. Inna ilayna iyabahum, that is, to us is your return, wa thumma inna alayna hisabahum, and it is upon us their account. On one hand, we find that Allah will take an account. And also we find that in the sayings of Ma'asumeen alayhi salam, Ma'asumeen, they say that, this is seen in du'as, and many of the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, that the creation's account, it's with Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. That is, the creation, they will be dealt by Ma'asumeen. Instead of Allah taking an account from them, Ma'asumeen will be taking the account from them. ثُمَّ إِلَيْنَا حِسَابَهُمْ. After mentioning this ayah, Imam Kazim alayhi salatu wasalam, that every nation will be raised with their imam. The imams will recognize their friends. They will recognize their foes. They say that we recognize the people by their faces, that they are from us or they are against us. وَإِيَّاءُ الْخَلْقِ إِلَيْكُمْ وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ. This is what we read in Ziyarat Jamiat al-Kabira. And this is one of those beautiful ziyarat which talks about the concept of imamat. And it's one of those beautiful ziyarat in many of these mukashifat that were seen or in those instructions given by the Imam of Age to Mu'mineen. Imam says, recite that ziyarat. Recite that ziyarat. And it is a good idea that we at least recite it once in a month or once in a week, so that we know what exactly Ma'asumeen alayhi wasalam are. So here says that Ma'asumeen will recognize the nation by their faces, the friends, the foes, all of them they will recognize. Now for to understand this, in one of the riwayat that we have, Imam Riza alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was coming to Marv, Marv is the name of Mashhad prior to the Shahadat of the Imam. Initially it was known as Marv in Khurasan. Now it's Mashhad in Iran. Khurasan is the province. So then when Imam was his first visit to Marv, to Khurasan, there was a funeral. Imam was there with no relatives of his, only his well-wishers, some of the Ashab, his companions with him. Imam was coming there, this funeral was being taken. Imam disembarks from his ride, follows the funeral, comes there and leads the funeral prayers, lays the body in the grave and covers the body. People who were there in that caravan of the Imam, they said that, Imam, this is your first trip to Iran. You've never been here and we know that you haven't got any relatives here. How come you participated in that funeral? You laid that person in the grave, you kissed him, you covered him, and you closed his grave. Why was that? Imam says he was a Shia. We know that. We know their ancestors, who they are. We know them. So this is how Ma'asumeen, they say that they will judge who their friend is, who their enemy is by their faces. One of the names we find for Allah is Rahim, which we recite at least 10 times a day. At least. Rahim means merciful. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is the reflection of that Rahim. So he is Rahmatun bil alameen, mercy to the world. We find that all the names of Allah that are present, for example in this dua, Joshan Kabeer, which we recited, 1001 names. Ma'asumeen, they are a reflection of all of those names of Allah. We say Allah is Ali, means great. Ali is the name of Allah. We believe Ali Amir al-Mu'mineen is a junior reflection of that senior existence of Allah. So that is Ali, because he is a reflection of Allah. The same thing is with all the Ma'asumeen, all of the qualities, all the names, all the attributes that we find in Allah are reflected in Ma'asumeen. If Allah is Haseeb, if He takes an account, Ma'asumeen too, because they are a reflection of Allah, they will take an account. Shias have to be proud, have to be thankful to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that their account will be taken by Fatima Zahra alayhi salam. Ahlul Bayt, they are that Sirat al-Mustaqim. That is, Awliyaullah, they are Sirat al-Mustaqim. Awliyaullah, on their heart, in their character, in their practice, it is only and only and only the irada, the intention of Allah which rules. And in many reports we find that Allah attributes Awliyaullah to Himself. For example, in one of these ahadiths that we have, there Allah says to Prophet Musa, Musa, I fell ill, I was sick, why didn't you come and visit me? Prophet Musa says, Allah, you ever fell sick? Do you ever fell ill? He says that Waliyullah was ill, why did you not visit him? So Allah attributes the illness, the sickness of a waliullah to his own self. That is, joy and sorrow which we talk about, Allah doesn't need to be happy or sad. It is the joy and the sorrow of these awliyaullah which Allah attributes to himself. For example, Sunnis have quoted, Shias have quoted, both the schools of thought have mentioned that whosoever hurts Fatima has hurt Allah. Whosoever has pleased Fatima has pleased Allah. That is because of awliyaullah. So with awliyaullah, we have to be very cautious. We have to be very careful. Now these awliyaullah, the 14 infallible, they are of that caliber A, band 1. If you go down further, everyone who is connected to these awliyaullah is also a waliullah of a lower stage. I'll give you an example. Marhum Ayatullah Shah Abani, who is the ustad of Irfan, of Marhum Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayh, this great personality Ayatullah Shah Abani, for whom? In all of these speeches of Marhum Imam, if you listen to them, he says, "My Ustad, my mentor, Shah Abadi, may my soul be sacrificed unto him." These are the words of Imam. Now throughout his life, this great personality has just a few students, seven, only seven. And all of them, each one of them of that high caliber, one of them is Imam Khomeini, who brought forth this Islamic revolution. So an ustad of that great caliber produces students of that great caliber, each one of them as strong as a mountain. Now this ustad, in those days there were no bathrooms and homes, so people, they had to go out in those public baths. Says that when the ustad, he went to those public baths, there was this water which was flowing from the bath outside into the lanes. As an ihtiyar, he was careful that it doesn't splash on him. Another person, an arrogant person, he says and taunts at this waliullah, at Ayatullah Shah Abani. He doesn't say anything. He just walks as he was walking, comes, and the next day when he was giving out his dars, there was a funeral, a body was being taken. He says that, who is that? One of the students, he says that, yesterday in that hammam, in that bath, that person who mocked at you, who taunted at you, who insulted you, the moment he insulted, a blister appeared on his tongue and it just grew and grew, the pain increased, nothing could be done, all the physicians were brought for him. But he died instantly within a day due to that one blister which appeared on his tongue as an insult which he did to that person, to that waliullah. So awliyaullah, we have to be careful. Hadith says that it isn't as such that awliyaullah, they've got a name tag hanging around their neck and they go on telling everyone. Hadith says there are three things that you have to be very cautious. First of all, Allah has hidden his awliya, his friends, among the creation. We don't know who he is. So we have to be careful. We don't hurt someone, maybe that person is waliullah. And then says, among the commandments of Allah, he says, for example, in all these Muharramat, in those things which he has said not to be done, says, among these things which are not to be done, one of them may be such that if that is done, the wrath of Allah is bought. And a person loses, doesn't get the opportunity and tawfiq to repent because of that wrong which he did. Because that is the reason why we are said to refrain from every wrong, every sin. Don't say that that is tiny, that is small. And then says, in the commands of Allah, in all these commandments, never underestimate any one of them. Maybe this one commandment which I am going to underestimate now, that may be my package deal which will be make my package complete for hereafter, for the hereafter. So that is why we have to be very careful in these three aspects, never to insult someone, maybe that, and also among the nights, he says that I have hidden Laylatul Qadr. He did not say it's the 19th, did not say it's the 21st, did not say it's the 23rd. See, it's one of them. And there have been many noble, they used to perform the A'mal of Laylatul Qadr throughout the year, so that at least whichever that Laylatul Qadr is perceived by them, because it's a suspense which Allah has kept. So for that reason, it says that, therefore, be very careful, insulting, fighting over the Allah, is fighting, declaring war against Allah. Quran says, these are the words of Quran, he says, فَلَمَّا أَسَفُونَا إِنْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ فَأَغْرَقْنَاهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. That is, when they displease us. A person doesn't displease Allah, he displeases one of these creations of Allah, one of the awliya of Allah. He hurts Fatima, he is displeased. He makes her happy, he is pleased. That is how it works in the system of Allah, the one of Allah. So God Himself has no joy, He Himself has no sorrow. He attributes the joy and sorrow of His awliya to Himself. And this heart, it is the shrine and the sanctuary of Allah, the one of Allah. We have a hadith that not just that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we believe that He is Rahim. Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam says that we will take the account of the Shias. We will ask Allah to waive the Huququllah, the shortfall which they had in the Huququllah. Huququllah, like prayers, fast, hajj, etc. Here he says that we will mediate and ask Allah to forgive them for the shortfall which they have in this Huququllah. And as for Huququnnas, says that, now these are issues and the wrong that we have done unknowingly or unintentionally, or wrong that we have done due to ignorance, due to jahalat. If someone knowingly does them, then he is in danger. Imam says, the wrong that the Shias have done in Huququllah, we will pray and ask Allah to mediate so that they are forgiven. If it's Huququnnas, if it's these money matters, he says that we will pray so that the creditors of these mu'mineen, they become so rich, khums becomes wajib on them, and khums is our right, and we will pay their debts with this khums of ours, which is my right. So we've got masumeen, so kind, so great, reflection of Allah, which is Rahman, which is Rahim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, says that someone who has knowingly ruined the rights of people, they exit from the school of thought of Rasulullah. Someone who knowingly does that. And if someone comes and says that this is all about Huququn Nas, the rights of people, so it means that the rights of Allah, we can knowingly put them aside, as the example was mentioned, don't feel like fasting, don't feel like praying. Here hadith says that someone who puts aside fasts and prayers deliberately, knowingly, he has entered into the zone of kufr, disbelief. So not praying is that severe, that a person enters into the zone of kufr. Someone. Do I have time? One more, and inshallah I'll try to be as brief as possible. And we talked about this quite a lot this time. We have to be optimistic with Allah, the Lord of the Ta'ala. We talked about having hope in Allah. That is, if we have wrong, we have to be hopeful that He will forgive. Now here we have to be khushbin, as they say, optimistic in what Allah will be dealing with us. If you get some time, there's this book, Psalms of Islam, Sahifa Sajjadiyya. And then in there you've got these munajat, khamsat ashar, 15 whispered prayers. If you just glance the first two of them, one of them is Taibin, one of them is Raghibin. Taibin, it's the whispered prayers of those who repent. Here Imam pictures himself in the presence of Allah, says, Ilahi, Al-Basatna al-Khataya Sawba Madhabati. That is, Allah, the wrong that I have done, it has clothed me. in a garment of dhilla, in a garment of wretchedness. وَجَنَّلَنِ التَّبَاعُدُ مِنْكَ لِبَاسَ مَسْكَنَتِي. And this distance between you and me has clothed me, has covered me with a clothing of maskana, of wretchedness. See how Imam pictures himself. Or elsewhere in another dua, he says that, although, O God, my hands are empty, but I am filled with tawakkul. That is, my heart is filled with tawakkul of yours, that I trust you, I rely on you. Although I don't have any amal. Says that, although my hands, they shake as to what I have done, worry shakes me and makes my legs tremble, my heart, despite all that, is hopeful in your mercy, and I am content and satisfied of your grace. So see how Imam presents himself before Allah, that although that shortfall exists, he says, but hope is there. Tawakkul is there. I rely and I trust you. So being optimistic with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is one of those qualities that a mu'min has to possess. If a problem does come across in our life, we shouldn't say that it's Allah who did. No. We must train ourselves to attribute the problems that come across to ourselves. It is me who did that. It is myself. It was due to me. We say, no, Allah did it. And we can bring about all the ayat. Yes, abilities are from Him. Nothing shakes in this world. No movement is there. But with His intention. But we have to train ourselves to be optimistic with Allah, the one who taught us. So being pessimistic towards God is hated in Quran. It's hated in Riwayat. And if you look into these du'as that we have, one of the du'as which is reported and recommended to be recited 10 times on the Thursday nights and on the nights of Eid, says that, Ya da'im al-fadli ala al-bariyya. Da'im means permanent. That someone whose grace upon his creation is permanent, not temporary. Not just this 50-60 years I'm living, no. It's permanent forever. As Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is eternal, His grace also is eternal. His favors upon mu'mineen also, they are eternal. Look into these du'as that we have. For example, it is said that it is mustahab to recite du'a Josh and Kabir on the night of the first of the month, which we recited here. In that du'a, we have 1001 names of Allah. Majority of the names, or all of the names of Allah, they are the names of His beauty. How many names talk about the punishment, the wrath, the azab? Very few. Maybe a few segments of the du'a only. Most of the segments, they talk about the beauty of Allah, the kindness of Allah, the grace of Allah, the rahmah of Allah. Says, Ya basit al-yatayni bil-atiyya, that is someone whose hands in providing to His creation are open, always open, not open for a certain time, eternal, forever. So this dua, if you recite that or have that constant reminding to yourself, says that will remove the roots of pessimism in yourself. Because we have to train ourselves to be optimistic to Allah. That way we have to present that the wrong is from me, good is from you, favors are from you, kindness is from you, rahmah is from you. Many of the negative ideas towards God, they invite many unwanted sins. I quote you a phrase from Najib Balagha in the 51st letter of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam to his ambassador, to his governor, Malik Ashtar. Imam says that, Malik, I advise you that among your advisors, you must not seek advice from someone who is bakhil, miser, someone who is close-fisted, or someone who is penny-pinching. Imam says, never seek an advice from them, never. Why? Because they will give you an advice and they will scare you of poverty. Because he is bakhil, he sees things in a negative way, he will scare you of poverty and you will not be given a good advice. And then says, he will not give you and will keep you away from infaq. Malik, you want to give to the needy. And that advisor of yours who is bakhil will not allow you to do that. And then says, don't get advice from scary and young people as they will fright you. They will make you scary. And neither with a greedy person. Imam says, be away from these advisors who are greedy. He will make you greedy as well, and always wanting to increase and multiply in your possessions. Now greed, after it was mentioned earlier. Now Imam, after mentioning these tips to Malik, says that يَجْمَعُهَا سُوءُ ذَنِّ بِاللَّهِ. And if these qualities are present in someone, that will increase that pessimism towards Allah. If someone is greedy, that pessimism towards Allah increases. If someone is who possesses these qualities which Imam says to be away, that will increase the pessimism towards Allah. A miser, a bakhil, he has no faith in God. Is pessimistic, he has that negative, fears the Almighty may not provide him. One of the things which normally is seen a lot, almost in every home, when this issue of marriage is brought up, they say, no job, studies haven't been finished, no savings, no funds. That is being pessimistic with Allah. Pessimism. Because he says, in yakunu fuqara ayyubihim Allah. Says, if you are a faqir, I will make you rich. I will make you rich. So not having that iman in Allah, not being optimistic with Allah. Or people, they get married for so many years. How many children you have now? Why? Job is not secure. What has that job to do with that child? He who provided you knows how to provide to your baby as well. It isn't as if that you have to train him to provide to your baby. No, he knows everything. So not having that, or bringing about all these excuses of studies and jobs and savings and homes and houses, it's all that pessimism in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We have to train ourselves to be optimistic in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Says Allah Jalla wa Ala, how beautiful Allah behaves towards his creation, says that one of the names that Allah has is Hannan. Hannan means, here Amir al-Mu'mineen defines what Hannan means. Says Hannan means God is brought to a servant who has run away. A servant who has been sinning all his life. To the presence of this servant, Allah is brought. Not that he returns to Allah. But to understand that, for example, we find this a lot today. Children, they run away. Now children who run away, although they are wrong, but what parents do, they come to the child. They say, yes, this is what we will give, these are the gifts we will give you. So the parents, they come to the child to attract the child back to the house. Allah, multiply that by infinity, acts in a similar way with his servants who are sinners, who are wrong doers. That is, Hannan means that Allah comes to that individual to attract him back to his track. In this hadith of Qudsi, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that you do not know how happy I am when this person who was sinning all his life returns to me. And if he knew how happy I am, he would die of that joy to see how happy Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is. In one of these ahadiths of Qudsi, Allah says to Prophet Dawood, Ya Dawood, أَبْلِغْ أَهْلَ أَرْضِ أَنِّي حَبِيبٌ مَنْ أَحَبَّنِي. Dawood, inform the creations that I am the Habib, the beloved of someone who loves me. That is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So one of the divine names that we find in this Dua Joshan Kabir, one of the students of Marhum Imam Khomeini, Sayyid Kamal Musawi, he said his program was such that whenever he had a gathering One of the best of those who had a good voice, he asked them to recite a few phrases of Lord Joshan Kabir before he started his talk. Among the names that we have, it's Ya Ni'mal Hasib, the best of those who takes an account, Hasib. Ya Ni'mal Tabib, the best of the physicians, the best of those who cures. Ya Ni'mal Raqib, that is the best of those who are always on the watch out. And this is the 51st segment of Dua Joshan Kabir, and in this beautiful way, Imam mentions over here. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala help us in understanding these glorious sayings, and may He Jalla wa Ala count us among those who are the best of guests of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in this sacred month of Ramadan. The host of this month is Allah Jalla wa Ala. God, make it as such that we try to understand and perceive this host of ours a little bit. May Allah Ta'ala never distance us from Quran and Ahlul Bayt. May that be in this dunya, barzakh, or qiyam. All those who are ill and ailing, may Allah grant them shifa. All those who have passed away, who have no access to this dunya, who have hopes in these majalis, may Allah elevate their ranks and forgive them. May Allah hasten in the return of our Imam, our Master, our Hujjah, and all those who are waiting for Him in every corner of the world, and all those who are being oppressed worldwide, may Allah provide every goodness, every ease to them, and by returning the Imam of time, Wa'ajjil fi farajihi Mawlana Sahib al-Zaman.